Let us pray. God, your word is more precious than fine gold and sweeter than purest honey. As we turn to your scripture, send your Holy Spirit to infuse your word with truth and grace, so that the good news of your love would shine before our eyes and delight our senses, so that we cannot help but respond with wonder, faith, and trust. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from Psalm 22, verses 25 through 31, and can be found on page 501 in the Pew Bible. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn toward the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all those who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. feel the urge to let that deep peace settle upon us. Thank you, choir. If nothing else, may there be deep peace in us today. Gathered in Christ's name. Let me read our second scripture from Isaiah 55. You can find that on pages 685 and 686 in the Old Testament section. And while we do have two Old Testament readings, people call Isaiah the fifth gospel. So you could think of this as a gospel reading as well, because Isaiah is so tied to the promise of Christ. And I love this prophetic passage, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. Isaiah 55. And the first word is ho, so I have to really say that with emphasis, because it's a call. So, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, come to me, and listen so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call the nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord where he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord a memorial for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen. Let's get some context first. This passage comes from the ending section of Isaiah. As the people of God anticipate their return to the land after a time of exile in Babylon. Isaiah is a prophetic book that proclaims God's promises to the people who are walking in darkness, or more plainly, people who are refugees and prisoners, taken off their land, longing for a home. These are words of hope and promise for a people who had very little hope and a lot of promises that seem to be forgotten. Of course, it's important to note in our modern context what this means as well. When we talk about returning to the land, we know that we're talking about returning to a piece of land that was and continues to be rife with conflict about ownership and rights. It's complicated to think about God's promise of the land in this light. Generally, it's helpful for us to step back from that modern frame and consider what it would be like to be a person in exile, regardless of what their contemporary descendants are dealing with. It's not too much of a stretch to think that there were probably Palestinians with the Jews in the exile. When the people are forcibly removed from the land, or when they return to the land, there are always people there already. That's the truth we must learn from indigenous communities. Land is complicated. And it's important that we don't gloss over our current geopolitical situation either. Israel and Babylon, Israel and Iran are at war. The conflict over land and rights and people, it's still right in front of us. So this is a message to a people returning to the place they called home, hoping that things are okay and that they could possibly start life there again. The promise of God's word is that it does not return void, but will come back in fulfillment. It's helpful, I believe, to find something universal out of this, a universal idea that we can connect to. We are Christians in the United States. We've inherited this story from another culture and another time and another people. And these stories and words, as they are passed down, we have to consider how they connect with our lives, while also keeping a good sense of clarity about ways that this may not entirely fit our particular station or situation. The universal good news here, as I see it, is that God's promises to God's people do not go unfulfilled. Asher saw my sermon title, and we got to talking about what void means. When we say God's promises do not return void, it means that they come back with something, not nothing. It means that those words of God, however long ago or muddled they are by culture, that these are words of goodness that have purpose in our lives. As our passage today reminds us, God's promises lead to the flourishing of creation, crops growing, land restored. And this is what I told my kid. Since the time you were born, we've prayed that God would bless your life. We've prayed for your future and hold hope for what you will become. This passage tells me, your father, it reminds me that God's promises are good and will be there for you. He looked rather blankly at me when I said all of that, but I hope someday he will understand. Today is Trinity Sunday in the liturgical calendar, and while this passage is not directly connected to how we understand the Trinity or how the biblical statements are about the Godhead, the three persons, I want to draw a possible connection here. When Christians talk about the Trinity, the triune God, Creator, Christ, Spirit, or as in our bulletin we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Mother, Lover, Friend, what we're talking about is a deep mutual relationship between the parts of God in which there is infinite abundance. What this means is that there's always enough love within God. Always the three giving and receiving love from one another that then overflows upon creation. This is how we think about it theologically. And for all the nerds out there, this is perichoretic union, if you want to know. No one does. That's fine. For the rest of us, what this means is that God is there. And God, in God, there is so much love generated between the parts of God that it overflows and pours out beauty upon creation, specifically to us. God's love pours out upon creation, cleansing us and fulfilling us to be God's people and be who we are made to be. We see this beauty in the ways that we see our diverse humanity. People of all ethnicities, all skin colors, socioeconomic standings, gender identities, all people make this beautiful quilt of humanity, of color and uniqueness and light. The Word of God pours out the blessings of diversity, particularity. These words of promise go forth from God's mouth to bless creation in this way. If you're a person who's been dispossessed of your land, and all that you'd known, your home, what would these words sound like? I want to return to the end of Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, because this is, in my opinion, the heart of the passage that you have probably heard many times. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Of course, these universal concepts of weather and growth and nourishment, these connect. As surely as the snow falls from the sky, as surely as the new sprout will yield a seed, so it is with the promises of God. They do not return empty, but accomplish what God designs. Well, then, okay, what does God design? To the people who are trying to come home, it's a clear path and some hope. God designs for the entirety of creation to flourish. It's made plain here and in many other places throughout the scriptures. And so then what does this mean for us? Well, I chose this text particularly for today because it is a day when we're celebrating all of these young people and welcoming them into the life of the church more fully. This passage, I hope, reminds us that all of God's promises are for each of us, and they are being fulfilled. They are being made real. We celebrate the growth and new life in our midst, marked by flowers and children. We celebrate that God's promises, God's word, are for those children that we've had up here, and they're for each of us. God's love in its profound abundance pours out and yields good fruit in our lives. Yes, there will be briars and thorns, but the promise of God is that even those will be made into flowers and vines that bloom with beauty. Are you a briar or a thorn? Do you have briars or thorns in your life? God's promise is to restore these things and make new life bloom from dead and hurting places. So God's word does not return void, but it comes back to all creation and blesses us, calling us to live life to the fullest. In a world where there are so many empty promises, void statements, thin excuses for hope, we need this. We have leaders and politicians who often make promises that will benefit them and their own supporters alone. They are void for so many, sparing only the elite or the rich or the powerful. God's word, God's promises come back true to us, all people. I'll close with yet another example from the scriptures of God's abundant love returning. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the narrative of the flood from the beginning of the book of Genesis. As the story tells it, the waters begin to recede, and Noah and his family begin sending out birds to see if there is any dry land that they will return from. You know, carrier pigeons and doves and birds and the like. And a number of them are unsuccessful. They either come back with nothing or maybe don't even come back at all. But we finally have a dove who comes back with an olive branch. Fresh new life has sprouted somewhere. God's promises of life returning do not return void, but have gone out and made life. We may feel flooded, exiled, poor in spirit, run down. The word of hope for us today is this: God's good promises are still for us. God is still speaking, moving in us, unfolding this work of what flourishing looks like. I encourage you to look beyond the briars and the thorns of today and see what God has been and is doing in you and in us. See it in each other. God is moving. The promise is coming, and it's here, and the promise that God will restore the fortunes of God's people is unfolding. And so the encouragement, the instruction today is this. Come to the table, come to the water, no currency needed, no privilege, just the promise that you are beloved of God. Amen.